I am so glad that you are here today and so grateful for this season of the year. So delighted to celebrate the reason for the season today in the city of David has been born to you a Savior, Christ the Lord. And we have been talking over the last several weeks about how that changes everything, how the birth of our Savior changes everything for all of us. Because if it's about anything at all, the birth of the Savior is about reconciliation, and specifically about reconciliation that brings restoration. Reconciliation that invites us into God's great big open-armed welcome home. I mean, it's, you know this, but it is a fundamental assertion of biblical Christianity, of the Christian faith, that all of us have lived our lives at odds with, separated from, apart from, life-giving relationship with the God who formed us. That our choices, actions we've taken that were at odds with His wisdom, choices that we made when we knew when we made them, we knew they weren't right choices, right? Weren't what they ought to be, because they weren't God's best for us. They weren't even our best for us, but we did them anyway because that's what we wanted to do, right? Those choices, this is a fundamental assertion of Christian faith, that those kinds of choices have left us isolated from God, broken, left us without hope, without God in the world. That's the biblical phrase. And we were powerless to do anything about it. But, everybody say but. When the right time had come, God sent His Son, born of a woman. Right? We were powerless to do anything about it. But, because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And so, because unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, we have a hope, not only of reconciliation with the God who formed us, but of the restoration of all He formed us for to start with. Reconciliation that brings restoration. In a word, wholeness. Wholeness. Because today a Savior has been born, we enjoy God's welcome home to a place of blessing. We talked about it a few weeks ago. Mary said it like this: He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant. From now on, all generations, help me, all generations will call me. Yeah. We enjoy God's welcome home to a place of peace. Angelic voices declaring from the heavenlies, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom His favor rests. We enjoy God's welcome home to a place of joy. The angel of the Lord declaring to shepherds watching their flocks by night, behold, I wonder if that was a word they used often. Behold, anybody know what that means? Look that up. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy, good news of great joy that will be for all the people. And because of what God has done for us in Christ, we enjoy God's blessing, His welcome home to a place of wholeness. Captured today by how comprehensive our Savior's redemption is. I think we too easily sort of narrow salvation, right? Salvation to maybe a particular moment in time. I remember when I got saved on such and such date, such and such a place, such and such a time. Or we too easily narrow God's salvation to a particular spot on the map. Boy, God's really working in this place or that place, and that often suggests that He's not working here. Boy, He's really doing something there. Guess what? He's really doing something here. Just so you know, all right? Or we narrow the redemptive act of Christ only to certain parts of our lives, as if there are certain parts of our lives that are kind of spiritual in nature, and there are other parts of our lives that aren't really. That's business, we say, as we take some action that Jesus would never take. I just want to remind you today, just how big, how comprehensive, how all-encompassing God's redemptive work in Christ really is. And I'll just start here. I tell you that God's redemptive work is so big that our redemption encompasses all of history. He is the promised Savior. Let me again tell you just what God's messenger declared. Today in the city of David, Luke chapter 2, verse 11. Today in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. That city of David reference is a reference to Bethlehem. And that matters because centuries before, that is just what God promised through the prophet Micah, who promised the city of David, but you, Bethlehem, same thing, city of David, Bethlehem, but you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me. Aren't you glad that God does great things in small places? I mean, if any church ought to be saying amen to that, it's us, right? Come on, God does great things in small places. You, though you're small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me a one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. It was significant that the angel references the city of David in this prophetic promise because the prophet Isaiah promised that a shoot would come up from the stump of Jesse. Who was Jesse? Jesse was the father of David, Israel's king, the David by which Bethlehem is known as the city of David. And what did Isaiah promise? A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, from the lineage of Jesse, from his roots, a branch, capital B, will bear fruit. Heard a Scotsman preach on that one time. A branch. Makes me wish I'm going across the pond for a while. I'll be back in 10 years when I've got the language. All right. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. This one who is of the lineage of Jesse. This one who is of the lineage of David. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. All of which, of course, is a prophetic word regarding Jesus. The birth of this baby and the work he would accomplish is so comprehensive that all of human history is built around it. God's promise to Eve, God's warning to the serpent, clear back in Genesis chapter 3, I'll put enmity, he says to the serpent, God does. I'll put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers, and he, the offspring of a woman, he will crush your head. You can be sure, Satan, right? I mean, we're talking right from the beginning of the human story. God says to Satan, you can be sure that one who is coming will crush your head. You're going down. Dude, Jesus is the promised Savior. Genesis 22:18, Abraham has promised that through his offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed. We believe that Jesus is the fulfillment of that promise. And I'm not going to take time to recite every prophetic word regarding the Christ. But I'll just declare to you that the redemptive work that God has done and is doing through Christ is so comprehensive, so all-encompassing, so great that every moment in history is directed toward it. History itself is made whole. History finds its purpose in the redemptive birth of Jesus of Nazareth. Our redemption encompasses all of history. He is the promised Savior. And I want you to know this morning, listen to me, I want you to know that even your history finds wholeness in him.
It's hard for me to choose one time where I felt broken and was just in needing God's assistance to, you know, bring me back.
A battle came. And it left me feeling worthless and empty as a woman, as a wife, as a daughter, just as a person.
Trying to do all the things that everybody expected of me, that if I could just do all of if I could just do everything right, if I could just do all of those things that, you know, that's the thing that was missing. I wasn't good enough. That wasn't what everybody was looking for.
I had a real problem with alcohol for most of my adult life. I knew deep down in my mind that I was an alcoholic, but I never would admit that. I couldn't admit that. I had too much pride.
I was facing a failed marriage. I was listening to the adversary tell me that I was too lost, I was too broken, that I had fallen too far away from God, that God and the church didn't want me no more.
Went to the cemetery say a prayer and a song before her burial. Just got there and got a call from my son, Darren, saying, Mom, I hate to tell you this, but Dana had a massive heart attack this morning and died. Can't even say how. I couldn't grasp it. He was getting ready to come to be with me in Kansas for a while. Didn't happen.
I think that I probably had a more blessed upbringing than anybody could hope for as far as good Christian influences and parents and grandparents and friends' parents and, you know, a whole congregation that gave me a good base for what should have been my faith and what was, what should have been going forward, my faith. Still, to some extent, when I got on my own, whether that was frustrations with people or with parts of my faith that I hadn't figured out yet or anything like that, it just kind of pushed me away from the church under the guise myself that I was just going to figure things out.
Last January, I was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer, which came out of the blue for us, but it wasn't a big surprise to God at all. So I guess you could say that that's what broke me. But I'd have to say that as we went through this adventure, it became more of a gift than anything else. And before you think too highly of me for saying that, I have to qualify that statement by saying, I sure didn't think it was much of a gift at first.
Even your history finds its wholeness in Christ. Second, I want you to know that our redemption permeates each moment of today, that he is the present Savior. I love what the angel says. The angel says, today in the city of David. So the whole of history points towards the birth of Christ. And finally, on the day we're celebrating this week, finally the world is able to declare today. Let me ask you this. Can you remember the last time you looked forward to a particular day? I mean, I know some of us get old and crotchety, and we kind of have to work on this a little bit, all right? But remember the last time you couldn't wait for Christmas Day to finally get here, or maybe you couldn't wait for the first day of summer, or maybe you couldn't wait for your wedding day, or your payday, or some of us just can't wait for Friday. Yeah, there's the amens. The wonder of... One of the most wonderful things about the whole of history looking forward to the birth of Christ is that finally it is actually here. The day that the world had been hungering for finally became today. Today is an important day. Today is an important day. Joshua says in Joshua 24:15, choose today whom you will serve. And then, of course, he says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. Jesus himself, when he launches his ministry from the pulpit of his hometown synagogue in Nazareth, reads from the prophet Isaiah, the passage where the prophecy was that one would come who would say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. And Jesus says about that prophetic passage, this passage that people were looking forward someday down the road towards its fulfillment. Jesus reads that passage, rolls up the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, hands it back to the attendant, sits down, as was the practice for a teacher in his day, and says to everyone present, what word? Today. Everybody just say today. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And what began with the birth of a baby in Bethlehem, what began with the birth of a promised Savior, is ours today in the reality of a present Savior. By His Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, right? This is that which was promised by the prophet Joel. In the last days, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. By His Spirit, He, Jesus, is working redemptively and restoratively in every moment of every day. Our redemption encompasses the whole of human history because He is the promised Savior in which history finds its wholeness. Our redemption permeates each moment of today because He is the present Savior, present even, yes, in your days.
Ever since I was younger, I've kind of struggled with this addiction, and it's been a real fight, and it's been something that's touched almost every aspect of my life. I've hurt people, I've damaged relationships, I've lost friends, and it's left me feeling just completely and utterly broken. I got to the point where I was trying to seek help and didn't really help, and I just couldn't live with it anymore. And I just remember driving home from work. I had a terrible day and I just went for a drive and ended up in this field. And it was the first time I've ever thought about something like this, but I was ready for the weight of my sins to just be taken away. And I was in this field by myself on a dead-end road, and I had my gun in my lap. It was, like I said, something I never thought of, but I just couldn't carry it anymore. And as I sat there with it and contemplated making a decision that I thought would help, out of nowhere, a guy was like walking his dog. I was probably a good mile down this dead-end road. No houses by, and my window was rolled down, and he just walked up to my window, saw the gun in my hand, looked at me, and said, "You're better than that," and then he walked away, as all he said. And to me, like, I had tears rolling down my face. And to me, that just translated to basically God just saying, I'm here.
I was angry. I was bitter. I was sad. I was cynical. And in the midst of that, I turned my eyes and heart and mind away from God and to other things, and just in search of something to fill the void and drown the hurt. 2003, the movie Bruce Almighty was released. It's a cheesy movie. Went to the theater with some friends and Shane, and everyone was having a great time. Everyone's laughing, enjoying it. The main character, Bruce, he was very angry and cynical towards God because his life wasn't going the way he wanted it to go. Pretty familiar. So as everyone else is having a good time and laughing it up, I'm sitting there feeling more convicted than I'd ever felt in my life. So God used that cheesy movie to bring me back to him, as silly as it was.
I told my husband, you know, I think you should go talk to somebody about your anger. I think that's the problem. I think that's why things aren't working. And so he didn't tell me, but he did. He went and talked to somebody. And then when he came back a couple of days later, we were talking. He said, you know, the other day when I had an appointment, I went to talk to somebody, kind of like you told me to. And he's worried about you. He thinks you might be depressed. He thinks you might need to talk to somebody yourself. And sure enough, hearing that, I thought, of course, of course, right? So I went to talk to somebody, and sure enough, I have anxiety and depression, which was a huge stumbling block for me to think, you know, I did all the things I was supposed to do. I did everything that was expected of me, and now this, why this?
And my wife left me, and I was sitting alone in my house one day, at the end of July in 2010. And I was thinking about my situation, how dire it was, and I was desperate. And so I decided to do something I'd never done before. I turned to God. I asked God to show me that he was there and that he was real and that he could help me with this situation. That same evening, I felt a need to talk to somebody, and I called Pastor Kent to see if he could come over and speak with me, and of course, he graciously did, and we talked, and I cried, and he eventually prayed with me, and which led to me giving my heart to Jesus.
I was too broken. I was too lost. And I bought into the lie. And one day, a friend of mine that called me out of the blue and says, I don't know what's going on, but the Lord woke me up last night and told me to pray for you. And after I did, she told me, she goes, I don't know if you're married. I haven't talked to you in 2 years. She found out where I was working at and called my work. She didn't have any personal phone number for me or anything, but she found out where I worked, and she got a hold of me. She goes, the Lord told me to tell you to shake the dust off your sandals and keep walking, and he loves you. I knew immediately that this was a word from God, and I picked up the phone, I called my mom, I said, Mom, I have no place to go. I'm homeless. Could I just stay at your house for a day or two? She started crying. She goes, you're always welcome back at home.
Then I went back to Tulsa, was there 2 hours. And got a call from Tabby, my daughter-in-law, said that Darren's fuel tank in his company truck had exploded in his face, and he was on his way to the burn center in Tulsa. So I went to the hospital from there to see him. Words can't express how I felt when I saw him and his face burned like it was, and how he was suffering and he was scared. But through it all, God had me in the very place that I needed to be. Every incident that happened, I was there where I was supposed to be.
It just seemed like the further I got away from the church, the more stuff got in the way of me coming back, and the more unhealthy things kind of took over. And then maybe a year and a half ago at Easter, Megan and I came back just because I didn't want to disappoint my mom. And wow, it was a really great service, and on the way back home in the car, it was just like, yeah, we should probably, it's probably time that we came back. And I don't know that there was like a wholeness moment that just took over and everything was great, but it just felt like the more we plugged back in and the more we kind of rediscovered what faith was, especially for me personally, that I was able to find wholeness in places I didn't even know I was missing wholeness.
Like I said, it was a real shock. We weren't expecting it at all. But God has been so faithful and so good and kind throughout the whole entire thing that there have been so many incidences and so many things that I can point to that I can say it truly has been a gift, because he's been with me every step of the way. I've had experiences with him that I know that I would not have had if I hadn't gone through this. It gave me opportunities to say things to my loved ones that I might not have ever said to them had this not happened. One night, we were all there, and the doctor came in and told me one more time that they had found it someplace else. And it was kind of a rough night. I remember having some hard time sleeping, and we were all just a little bit down. And the next morning I woke up and my hospital room looked out to the east, and I had a beautiful view. It was a view of the Topeka High and the Capitol building, and so it was pretty in and of itself. But that morning there was a sunrise that I cannot even begin to explain. It was absolutely breathtaking. It seems like it went from one side of the horizon clear to the other. I mean, the nurses were taking pictures because it was so spectacular. And as I sat there on the side of the bed, I knew that this was God giving me a big hug, because he sent me this beautiful sunrise. I knew it was for me.
History finds its wholeness in Jesus because he is the promised Savior. Your history finds wholeness in Jesus because he is the present Savior. And I want to tell you that our redemption engages every part of our lives because he is the personal Savior. Here's what the angel said. Unto you, everybody say, that means me. See, I mean, this is where I like the King James Version, right? Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now, it says the same thing in more contemporary translations. The word order is just reversed. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the personal Savior. I got to be careful here. He's not a personal Savior who's somehow yours to manipulate. He's not the marionette, the puppet on the string, you know. And some, I think this is how some people see their relationship with God. If I give enough, or if I pray enough, or if I behave well enough, or maybe if I complain enough, right, God will finally concede and direct the world the way I think it should go. It's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is a Savior who knows you and can be known by you. He knows what you're experiencing. He can identify with what you are walking through. We're talking about, just an example, we're talking about a Savior who knows, who feels the pain of Mary as she mourns the loss of her brother Lazarus. Even Jesus knows, even though Jesus knows he is about to call Lazarus forth from the dead, he sees the sorrow of Mary, he is moved with compassion for her heartbreak, and as every Bible scholar knows, the shortest verse in the Bible is the result: Jesus wept. Oh, so many times the Bible describes Jesus as moved with compassion, right? Just one example. Jesus has come across the Sea of Galilee to a different part of the lake shore. And he's made this trek across the water because he needs some time away. He needs a break. He and his disciples are worn out. And yet Mark says in Mark chapter 6 verse 34 about Jesus, when Jesus landed, when he got to this place that he was going to take a break and saw this huge crowd, he had what? Compassion. I read that with conviction. He wasn't irritated. He wasn't ticked. He wasn't frustrated. Instead, his heart was moved with compassion for them. He had compassion on them because he saw them. They were like sheep without a shepherd. You know perhaps what the New Testament book of Hebrews says about Jesus as our great high priest. We do not have a high priest who is somehow unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet is without sin. Yet he did not sin. I am just telling you there is not a part of your life that he doesn't know about. There is not a battle you are fighting that he is somehow unaware of. There is not a challenge that you are facing that he is not ready to help you overcome. There is not any part of your life he is not working to redeem and restore. Our redemption shows up in every part of our lives, because he is the personal Savior, and he loves to show up and bring wholeness.
I've learned that, you know, no matter how many times that I've felt completely broken and just shattered and just too far gone, his presence always finds me and renews my faith. And it's just, I don't know, it's just so fulfilling.
Showed up in places I didn't expect him to show up. He gave me a peace that I never thought I would find. And he showed me a love that I'd never felt. And building that relationship with God at that moment, at that time, is what saved my life, I believe, is what brought me to the place I am now.
And I found that the more I got into the Word and the more I went to church, the better I felt. I wasn't trying to do all the things that everybody was telling me to do. And I learned, you know, that's where my focus needed to be. And things were really good for a while. And then in the last probably year and a half, I started to get that little inkling again. You know, things were going really good. I still have everything that I've asked for, but there was still just something missing. And then we did the sermon series, The Breakthrough. And I still just had, I had these things in the back of my mind of things that I had done when I was doing things on my own that I hadn't really confessed to anybody or admitted to. I had asked for forgiveness, and I knew in my head and in my heart that God forgave me, but I hadn't forgiven myself yet. So I broke down in one of the final sermons and just said, is this me trying to clear my conscience, or is this something you're directing me to do? And I just said, I just need something to show me it's not me being selfish, wanting to feel better about it. And so I asked for a sign, and I got exactly what it was that I was looking for when I finally laid it all out and said, that's it. I'm going to stop trying to control everything, and I'm going to let you take over.
So I received a message that I need to apologize to my family, and I had no doubt as to who that message was from. So the next day, I called for a family meeting. I called my family, and I was just hoping that they would find it in their hearts to give me another chance and come to a family meeting so I could explain everything that was going on in my life. So I did, and they graciously accepted. And a couple days later, we did have that family meeting. And I personally apologized to each and every family member there, my children, my wife, and my dad. And I told them I was extremely sorry for what I had put them through all these years, and that there was a change that was going to be made. Of course, I knew it'd be a while before I could gain their trust back, but by the end of that family meeting, I could tell that they knew there was something different about me.
The third voice that you sometimes hear is not telling you the truth. It's the devil. It's the Satan's lies. It's in your head. And to push back in and to get back where you should be, that is the complete wholeness, that the healing for me. And I would never go back to that. Never. And I thank the Lord every day for my marriage that I have now, and Nikki and the girls. But the number one thing in the marriage I have now is we keep Christ in the center of our life, and we look to Him constantly. It's all about, what would Christ want us to do?
The peace that God gave me through this all is inexplainable. I can't even tell what, it just felt like that He had just wrapped His arms around me and just given me such a peace within. And I just give Him all the glory for that.
Well, I was able to find wholeness in places I didn't even know I was missing wholeness. Reconnecting with family and with just having the relationships that you get, being a part of JAG Church especially, just being able to have guidance and peace when something happens at work that I didn't have before, and kind of a sense of peace about life that didn't exist for a lot of years, and that wholeness could just shows itself over and over again in places I didn't even, like, there are places where I needed wholeness and that showed itself immediately, and there are places where I didn't know I needed it, but it is been such a blessing to me to have it restored.
And the thing, I guess, that I've learned the most out of all of this is I've learned how to let my fellow believers wash my feet. And that's not something that's been real easy to do. I remember sharing with the gals that came over and did the landscaping for me last spring how difficult that was to just sit there and let them work out there. But I was not in any kind of condition where I could go and help, and so I was forced to sit there, and the Holy Spirit kept saying to me, just be still and let them wash your feet. Just let them wash your feet. Let them have the blessing of washing your feet, and you need the blessing of it as well. And I've had my feet washed so many times throughout this whole entire journey, and it's because I've got such a wonderful and loving church family that have been there for us throughout this whole entire thing. And I can't say enough about how much we appreciate that. And I have learned to sit back and let them wash my feet.
That happens because of Jesus, the promised Savior, the present Savior, the personal Savior. In short, He is the complete Savior. Only a complete Savior can bring that kind of wholeness. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. He is Christ. That's an Old Testament testimony to His anointing from God on high. He is Christ the Lord, the one who is over all and in all and will bring everything to its completion, to its consummation. Behold, I bring you good news. Good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Everybody say, that includes me. Come on. That includes me. Woo! You don't believe that. You don't have anything to celebrate this week. Good news. Great joy for all the people today in the city of David. A Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Church, His arms are open wide. I want you to hear me on that. I do not want you to miss what I am about to say because you think this appeal might be for somebody else. We just said that our redemption engages every part of our lives. There is not a part of your life, there is not a facet of your experience that Jesus does not want to engage, redeem, and restore. That's why He came. And so I believe that there is an invitation from God to every person under the sound of my voice this morning. His arms are open wide. His heart is open wide with a glorious, almost incomprehensibly sweet welcome home. It is a welcome home to a place of blessing. It is a welcome home to a place of peace. It is a welcome home to a place of joy. It is a welcome home to a place of wholeness. I know it's Christmas Sunday. I know many of you have obligations. As soon as I say amen, you're out the door headed somewhere, whatever. I get that. But I wonder if you're here this morning and you don't really have time for that because Jesus wants to do something more important in your heart. Wonder if there's something in your heart as you listen to Scripture this morning, as you heard the people of God singing the praises of God this morning, if you heard these testimonies of people within our own congregation and how in their brokenness Jesus came and brought them wholeness. Is there something you'd like Jesus to do for you? maybe, let me rephrase that. Is there something that Jesus would like to do for you that you would welcome him doing in you? I've asked the worship team to lead us in a familiar song of praise. Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you, right? Just a declaration of love to him. If there's something that I and others can pray with you about this morning as we begin to bring this service to a close, I want to invite you to come to the front. I want to invite you to just stand across here. Just going to take a minute and pray for you. Lay hands on you. Ask God to do what he wants to do in your life for you. We're not going to take a long time with it, but we'll take long enough for Jesus to do what he wants to do. How can I pray with you? Father, thank you for these sacred moments. All of history finds its wholeness in you. Our history finds its wholeness in you. You are present and you are personal. You are complete in every way, and you complete our lives, every facet, every dimension, every layer. So as there are those that you long to work in this morning, perhaps just in a way to say, Jesus, you can do what you want with my life. I want everything you have for me. I pray, Jesus, that you would direct these next few moments and they would be marked especially by the presence of your Holy Spirit. There's nothing we can accomplish this morning of any eternal value apart from the presence of your Holy Spirit among us. So we welcome your work as your people respond and your people sing. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd like me to pray with you, come as the worship team leads us. Come on.